So pleased to be able to chat with Maureen Geary and Sean Glennon of the Quincy Planning Department about the Quincy Small Business Grant Program and how it's helping out small businesses right here in the city. So Maureen, Sean, welcome to both of you. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure. I know this is a program that was put together pretty quickly, actually, and pretty effectively to help small businesses recover from the pandemic. And Sean, I thought maybe we could start with you and just give a little, information as to how this developed.
Sure. So several weeks ago, actually, members of our department, planning and community development folks, got together and were looking at programs that other communities were offering. Some got out of the gate really early, such as Worcester. And so we looked at their program and we started talking to them early just to be able to get a program designed together so that if the city did want to move forward with something like this, we'd be ready to go. And fortunately, with the mayor's support, we went from a pretty small allocation. We suggested maybe $250,000to help some folks, suggesting perhaps $5,000 grants. And the mayor said, you know what, let's go all in with our initial funding of CARES Act money, which is a little over $1 million. And he said at the launch event a few weeks ago, not only was he going to put that $1 million towards it, but he was going to take another million in other CARES Act funding and match that. So now it's a $2 million program. He also upped the ante to a max grant of $10,000. And so as of this morning, we have 519 applications in the system. About a third of them actually haven't been submitted yet. So that means that people have started the application, but for whatever reason, maybe they're gathering some documentation, haven't uploaded it yet. That hasn't been submitted yet. So we definitely want to encourage folks, if you're in the system, you do need to click submit. So if you haven't completed that process, please do that. We're asking by 4 p.m. tomorrow, Friday, to do that. And then we'll get moving. We've already started some of the underwriting process with some of the cases, just try and get ahead of the curve a little bit for the ones that have submitted. But since this is a merit-based program, which is, I think, very important to mention, it's not a first-come, first-served program, we really need to get all the cases in before we can then allocate funding. So folks still do have time, and we encourage people, if they haven't submitted yet, to please do that.
Okay, and do you have any kind of a sense of a timeline for when the grants will be distributed?
It depends on how many cases end up being submitted altogether. We assume there'll be probably an uptick over this last 24 hours. Before the timeline expires. And then we go case by case. It depends on how easy it is. Some of these are pretty easy to recommend moving forward. Others, they're not so clear cut. In many cases, folks haven't uploaded all the information they've submitted, but they haven't actually uploaded everything we need. So actually one thing I want to mention is that a lot of people are asking for leasing assistance, which is a rental assistance, you know, for the unit, which is great. That's exactly what we want to fund for these brick and mortar mom and pop shops, but they're not actually uploading the lease document itself, which is not helpful because we need to see that in order to make a determination on what that grant amount will be. So if folks haven't uploaded their lease and they're asking for rental assistance, we'd ask them to please go back into the system. If it's not there, we have people in the department that are reaching out to them to be proactive in that process. But if you don't submit everything, it slows down the process. So it really depends on, once we have this deadline, have people submitted everything they need. If they have, that'll speed up the process. If they haven't, it's going to slow it down. So we're looking at least 2 weeks to underwrite these. We don't expect any checks to go out until the end of May at the earliest, more than likely looking at the first week of June.
Okay, very good. And we should talk, I guess, a little bit about who is eligible for these grants. What are some of the criteria that they have to meet? And certainly, Maureen, feel free to jump in as well if you have things to add.
So some of the basic criteria, and it's pretty easy. First of all, the application is an online application, and it's, once they get there, it's a very simple application. And I say that lightly because the federal government, the SBA, applications and loan process have been pretty arduous. So we try to make this as simple as possible. And it can be challenging regardless how easy we make it. So some of the criteria for small business owners is they need to be small business owners, 20 employees or less. Revenue, we'd like to see $1 million or less. And the program is geared towards for-profit business entities. And having a business, obviously, in Quincy. So those are kind of the basic criteria. We have online applications. So if you went to quincyma.gov, There's a small business banner at the top of the website. They click on that banner, get into the to the small business criteria, and a link that'll bring them to the online application. We have people on hand. There's a number for Jim Scribby, who is handling calls coming in. Everybody's handling calls, but we're kind of funneling them to Jim to answer questions and get these people, answer any questions as immediately as possible so that we can get these applications processed and get as much documentation as possible.
Okay. And I'm sorry, go ahead, Sean.
Yes, I think we should mention too that we do have a small list of ineligible business types, such as, liquor stores, for example, they weren't closed as part of the process. So, revenue might be down, but we're trying to look at the ones that were most affected, by the shutdown. So liquor stores are ineligible, check cashing facilities. The real estate business is still functioning, although not at the same level, but we have put real estate on that list of ineligible activities, our businesses. And then national chains, they do have the support of their national organization. They own a lot of real estate in many cases, large assets. So national chains are on the list as well, unless the business is a franchise. And if it's independently owned, like a Dunkin' Donuts, for example, if it's independently owned, that's something that we'll look at case by case. But otherwise, national franchises are ineligible. We've been seeing cases of other stimulus grants going to businesses that maybe didn't need it so much. So we're trying to avoid that in Quincy. We're really trying to focus on the mom and pop shops that have been in Quincy a long time. This might be the deciding factor of whether or not they have to close. And so those are the ones we're really trying to save.
Yeah, I'm sure you're thinking small independently owned restaurants, barbershops, maybe a small bakery or a laundromat, something of that nature.
Exactly.
You should tell folks what kind of information that you'll be looking for in this application. What should these business owners be prepared to present on the application?
Do you want me to grab that, Sean? You want to grab that?
It's an 8-step application process. You just register in the system. The very first screen is literally just a 4-question eligibility pre-screen. Then it gets into your personal contact information, the business information, ownership. In many cases, we're seeing, a lot of these are sole proprietorships. It's 100% owned by one person. That's pretty simple. But if it's more than one person, we're seeing a lot of 50-50 partnerships, 3-way splits, 4-way splits. Mm. And so we want to see that, if the person applying is only 25% owner, we need to see the income certifications of those other three people too, because otherwise we're only getting it from one person, we don't know if the other three are actually low moderate income people too. And that's what we're looking at. So we might have to prorate the grant to 1/4 of maybe what it would be, unless we get that other information. And then we ask, how much are you asking for? Most people are saying 10,000, and I don't blame them. No. Unfortunately, with 500 applications in the system, we now have over $5 million in requests. We only have $2 million to give. So this is tough. It's not unusual for us every year to receive more in requests than we have in funding in CDBG in general. This is not a new thing for us. Mm-hmm. But to have this kind of demand for such an emergency situation, this is unprecedented for us. So these are some really hard decisions we're going to have to make moving forward. But in any case, there's a funding screen. We're asking them how much you're asking and what would you put it towards? And then we need to see the backup for that. The last screen is this list of required documents. And then you submit, and then you'll receive a confirmation. And that's important, I think, to mention that you will receive a confirmation once you submit the process. So if you haven't received that confirmation yet, if you're not sure if you think you've submitted, but you haven't received that email, we'd encourage you to give contact Jim, whose information is on the screen. Login.
Okay, and the payments, once they are made, who will they go to? Will they go to the actual owners? Will they go to the mortgage companies, the leases? How will that happen?
They will go to the owners in this case. We're looking at their whole package, and so we'll send them an award letter detailing what the grant amount is. We'll have the check in there, and then also there's going to be a grant agreement in there, because these are federal funds. We need them to certify that they're going to use the funds for the intended purpose. And then we're going to want to check in with them, maybe 6 months or a year from now to see what happened. So we feel comfortable sending them the check directly because we do have that grant agreement attached. So they're going to certify that they're using the money for it.
Okay. So would you advise them to kind of to create a record of how they use that payment then?
Yes. And we are focusing on rent and mortgage payments. So it's pretty clear cut. And that's why we're focusing on rent for that reason is that, you know, we have that lease. We know exactly what the monthly payment is. So let's say we give them 2 months worth of rent. We know, you know, we can back it up with that information.
Sure. Do you anticipate this program being extended again or done again?
It depends on if there's future money. I mean, right now we've only seen the first wave come through. And so we have the $1 million of CDBG plus the mayor's commitment of another million in other CARES Act funding. We have seen in the news yesterday that there's another stimulus package coming out. So maybe, but you know, we don't have, we can't say, you know, today if that'd be another wave or not.
Okay.
It would be good. It really would be good if we could. I think that would be our goal. I mean, we have over 2,000 small business owners in the city of Quincy, and so far we've hit a quarter of them. Yeah. So, you know, we'd love the opportunity, obviously. So with the mayor's office to spread that out and really reach more business owners at this point.
I read in the application that one of the criteria is that they have to prove significant loss of revenue since March 10th. And also this kind of has to be their sole or their main source of income for their livelihood. So how do they prove those two things?
If it's a business that has been shut down as part of the governor's stay-at-home advisory, then it's pretty clear. I mean, we know there's just if they're if they own the business and it's been shut down, I mean, it's we just take them. We take them at our word because we know there's a state declaration that they can't operate. So, and that's also the reason why we're looking at that partnership split is that if it's 100% owned, then it leads to assuming that's their primary source of revenue. If they're a 25% owner, maybe they're not there all the time. Mm-hmm. That's why we look at it as a case by case basis and try to dig deeper into it if we have questions about.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, a lot of this is the trust and honor system. You know, you're putting a lot of faith in the owners to do the right thing, and I think it's important to point out too that the city is administering this. I mean, it's federal dollars, but you know, the city doesn't have to do this. This is the administration taking it upon themselves, and I know it's not happening in every community. So I think that's important to point out.
Thank you, Joe. In fact, Jim Fatsies, our planning director, asked me to you know, mention that we do have a staff of 17 people that are fully committed to this program. And literally day by day, we're adding more staff members to this program. You know, it started as a pretty small group of three, then four, then five. And now, you know, pretty much half the department is working on this program. And fortunately, we do have the resource to be able to do that in-house as some other lines of business, so to speak, have slowed down over the past several weeks. We've been able to utilize staff and you know, reallocate them for different purposes. So it's worked out pretty well. It's not been an easy process, but fortunately we do have the staff in-house to be able to do this.
Sure. Maureen, are you still able to assist businesses with the Small Business Administration programs if they for some reason don't qualify for this city grant? I know that's as you mentioned earlier, that's been an issue to say the least.
No, it has. I think business owners, that seemed to be tapering off a little bit.
Okay.
The new PPP, the Payroll Protection Program, reopened about 2 weeks ago, and they had another surge of small business owners to apply for that because they kind of changed the rules a little bit. They made it more accessible to the small business owners. Mm-hmm. So I think I've seen a little bit of a tapering off. With gearing this one towards our small business owners and being a grant, mm-hmm. I mean, this is really lifting those businesses up that wouldn't even apply for the federal programs. Okay. And I've gotten, I mean, the communications that we've had, it's just amazing. It gives me the chills. And as to some of the conversations I've had with these small business owners and how grateful they are for the city and for the mayor's office and the planning department to come up with a grant, even as little as it may seem, $10,000, that takes people a little ways. Yeah. A couple of months worth of rent can hold them over until they can pay their landlord when they start opening up again.
Yeah.
So it's really, this is meaningful, and we've gotten some incredible heartwarming responses to what we're doing. And I really appreciate the business owners being so generous and so thoughtful to be thankful. Interestingly, we've gotten some companies that have applied for the SBA loans, and started the application and then realized that they didn't qualify because they may be in a different bracket. They may have already received funds. But a number of them have said, you know, I've stopped the application because I don't think I need it since I've gotten funds elsewhere, number one. And number two, they wanted to leave it for those people who really do need it. Wow. They didn't use that money if they didn't really need to. And that was just, I mean, it makes you feel like they're all in it together and they're working to help support each other.
It's like finding money on the street and, you know, and turning it in knowing it's not yours.
Exactly. So that's, I'm really, really happy to hear those. We have a lot of very nice stories to talk about when this is over.
That's nice to hear because, you know, so many of these small businesses operate on such a thin margin to begin with. So many of them have put everything, you know, all their life savings into these businesses, you know, with hope and faith that it's going to pay off. So, yeah, $10,000, I'm sure, is like a gift from heaven. No question.
Yeah.
Read a case yesterday or a couple days ago, and it was a mom and pop, husband and wife owned restaurant, and both of them are their income is coming from the same restaurant, and that's their primary source of income for both of them. And they've been shut down since mid March. They have no income coming in. They've got three kids at home. You know, they own their home. You know, there's some heartbreaking stories too. So, you know, to Maureen's point, to be able to provide anything, and I should know, you know, now that we're up to this. Over $5 million in requests. I do want to stress that 10K is a max and, you know, probably not going to be realistic in most cases. We want to try and spread this as much as possible. So, but even, you know, even half that, if we're able to provide, you know, let's say 2 months worth of rent on a business, that would at least bring them current in most cases because they would have presumably paid March by the time it was shut down in mid-March. So if we're able to pay April and May, and we get them that check by the beginning of June, and that, you know, brings them into sort of the beginning of the summer season. If we're able to see a reopening by then, if we can just make them whole in some capacity to bring them current, and then hopefully that provides a smooth transition into reopening, hopefully over the next few weeks, and then I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, so many small businesses support the city and community in so many ways through the sponsorship of local sports teams or, you know, Girl Scout, Boy Scout troops, you name it. The other always being asked to give gift cards or what have you. So nice for the city to be able to give back a little to them this time for sure. I haven't heard of any other communities, at least to this degree, doing something like this. You mentioned Worcestershire, but I don't know of many others.
There aren't many others, and I think that's part of the challenge because they're federal funds. As you know, as Maureen mentioned earlier, there are always strings attached with federal money, and for good reason. You know, we're stewards of federal money. We want to make sure we're doing right by the federal government and protecting. You know, these are taxpayers' dollars, so we want to use them as efficiently as possible.
Yeah.
So, it's you know. One day at a time, but you know, it's been an interesting process. So yeah, we had Worcester, Cambridge, Fitchburg, or some others out there, and we're hearing the same stories. It's just it's tough for staff to jump in on something like this because it's federal dollars and it's special economic development is the category of CDBG that's being used, and it's just known throughout the country as the most difficult component of CDBG to work with because there's so many strings attached.
Okay.
I think that's part of the reason why there aren't more communities trying to do this because there, a lot of communities out there with CDBG money, they're smaller communities. They don't have the kind of staff that we do or Cambridge or Worcester. You know, Boston has one too, but I think their annual allocation is probably $20 million a year in CDBG. Ours is about 1.8. So it comes down to staff in most cases.
We've talked about this before, I know, and you know, it's ironic just coming off of CDBG week back in April, and you know, you're always touting the importance of this program and the benefits that it does to the community. Here is the ultimate example, really.
Here, you know, you read my mind, Joe. It was a month ago that Melissa Pons, my colleague, and I were on this program talking about CD week and how we went to a virtual community development week this year, and saying that's always a celebration where we try to advocate for CDBG funding. And, you know, this is not a political statement, but the president, since he took office, has tried to eliminate CDBG every year in every budget. And that's just a fact. I'm not, you know, that's not a soapbox, comment. It's true. And thank God for members of Congress like Stephen Lynch, who have been fighting for this program, you know, every year that they've been in office. If not for Congress, we wouldn't have a CDBG program to be able to administer these funds. So definitely want to thank the congressman for his support nationally, and also obviously to the mayor for his commitment of matching funds for this program.
Sure. Maureen, do you feel that the outreach for the small business grant program has been adequate? I mean, do you think that you're getting the word out there so enough businesses know about it?
I think so. I think when the first we can kind of tell in some of the in the software program that we're using, it's called Neighborly. When there's a peak in applications, we can see that on the system, which is great. And the very first day that the mayor made the announcement, I mean, it went crazy. We were, you know, the phones were ringing, the emails were coming in, so it was really exciting. We've been in the sun. We have an extensive constant contact list that we mail out to regularly. We get it through the chamber and some of our other business partners in the Asian community. So I think we've really, you know, clearly we can't get it out through the mail, which would have been one of those last kind of almost, you know, last ditch efforts. But the way we've communicated social media and just word of mouth and the newspaper, I think we've done a very good job at getting the word out. People are hearing about it.
That's great. Yeah. And
applying. So I would just suggest you know, if you see it, if you hear about it, you tell your other neighbors, tell your friends, and just keep the word moving until, you know, until Friday, and apply, just apply and see what happens. That's what I'm telling business owners. They're getting a little nervous and saying, you know, I probably won't apply. I mean, I probably won't qualify, or it looks a little complicated. Just apply, get your foot in the door, and we can help you take it from there.
Okay. Yeah. Great advice. I know that I've reached out to some of the small businesses I, you know, patronize just because I want them to know about it and want them to be able to take advantage of it. I'm sure other customers are doing the same thing as well. So we should recap again the contact information for folks to learn about the small business grant program and how they get a hold of the planning department for more information.
So I'm sorry, are you putting that, do you want me to tell you that again?
Please, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. So it's the city's website, quincyma.gov. On the top banner, there's a banner that says small business grant. Click on the small business grant. It'll bring you into the information page. And on that page, there's a link that'll bring you into the online application process. And in that page as well, there's a contact person, Jim Scribby. I would tell you his number, but I don't know it off the top of my head. Sorry.
That's okay.
But it's right there on the page, and he's really available for questions. I'm available for questions. If anyone feels like they want to reach out to me, my number is 617-376-1266. People kind of refer me. They'll give my cell phone out. They'll give my office phone. Be happy to answer any questions by anyone looking for questions on the application or business questions in general.
Okay, great. Anything else you think we should add, Sean or Maureen?
I think that covers it. We just, again, encourage people to try and get in that system by 4 p.m. tomorrow. Even if you can't submit by 4 p.m., you know, we're talking about a, you know, maybe a couple day grace period for people to complete, but you have to at least register and start the process okay. by 4 p.m. Friday. So please. And we don't want anybody coming back to us and saying they didn't know about it or they didn't have enough time. You know, we can't start the underwriting process officially until all those are in. So we have to, you know, put the lid on this thing and get moving. So you know, just encourage folks to, again, submit by 4 p.m. tomorrow or at least start the process and then upload everything that's required.
And Sean, you made a good point when we were talking yesterday. Answer the phone. If there's a number from the city that comes in, folks, I know people get a little weirded out if they see the city of Quincy calling. Oh, they'd call, you know, is it a tax collection? Is there something wrong? You know, there may be a call from the grant program people. Just asking for information, trying to fulfill the documents that are necessary for the application. So try and answer the phone and so we can get that process complete.
And this is, you know, a good opportunity to remind folks to respond to the federal census, because that's what CDBG money is based on. So I know that's a big push this year as well.
Good point.
Thank you. Great
both. Plug. Thank you, Joe. Yeah. If Quincy's population increases, then our allocation presumably increases with it. So that's just, you know, more funding that we can spend in the community. So great plug. Thank you for mentioning that.
Of course, yeah. Thank you both. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Maureen. And hopefully we'll be able to do this in person soon. But
yes,
in the meantime, we'll this is follow up.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Be well.
You too.